You are listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
War. The battle rages in Pilanus' orbit. A small elite team was briefed by Starfinder Leigh Talon on a Vescarium satellite aiding the terrestrial cloaking generator. The small team silently boarded the satellite and fought their way to the controls, successfully crippling the ground resistance. Now, a small team awaits orders to proceed on their assault against the cloaking generator, bringing them one step closer to the defeat of General Dronan Vos Dahlan.
We start with a shot, very Star Wars style, of the starry skyscape and the planet beneath us. We see the curvature of the horizon underneath, and a ship with a large armored underbody and stabilizing wings flies past the camera and down towards the planet. We cut, and now we are inside the ship. Everything's like rattling and shaking. Each of you is likely holding a strap from the ceiling to stay upright, because there are no seats. There's plenty of equipment, guns, armor, just kind of stuffed in wherever it fits. So there's not a whole lot of room in here. Between the four of you, soldiers, freedom fighters, allies from the Pact Worlds, there's not a lot of room, but there's a lot of camaraderie. Let's go around the table real quick and introduce what our fighters look like, starting with Steven.
Hi. So the strap that my character is hanging on to is dangling a little bit lower than everyone else's as it goes down to the small furry arm of a Skittermander. He's decked out in a Vescarium naval uniform. He's got a scar across one of his eyes, and if you could describe a Skittermander as looking gruff, he would. And he's just kind of scowling at the rest of his compatriots, not really saying anything, but... and his fur is like a really dark blue. Oh, should I say my name?
I was about to ask you.
Yeah, I'm Commodore Vorp.
All right, and the camera turns a little bit to the side, and who's the next character we see, Sam?
Standing there, not holding on to one of the straps, but checking over his weapons, is a Sheeran soldier. Sheeran are an insectile race. He particularly resembles a bit of a cicada, and he is checking over his weapons. His armor is adorned with scorch marks, explosives. Pieces are kind of missing but put back together. He's a man who has seen many, many battles and wars. Master Sergeant Zictan Vortan Zivti, or Sergeant Ziv, as some others have called.
Standing next to Sergeant Ziv, Jenkins, who do we see there?
Standing there, sort of fiddling with something on the end of his gun, is... How do you say their name?
Patra.
Patra?
Patra.
Is a Patra, who is this, like, cat-like being, and nobody can really understand it, but it looks like he shouldn't exist. Something between, like, alive but not really alive, dead but still living, kind of back and forth. And his name is Schrodinger.
Beautiful.
Vorp is scowling at him in particular.
Now, are you a Borai?
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah. So I'm a Patra, but I'm also the heritage of Borai, which is like this half-dead, half-alive thing. But I don't constantly look like it because I took the only nearly dead feat.
He's only mostly dead.
Only mostly dead.
Speaking of things being dead, one of the reasons why there's so little room inside of the ship is, well, Jack, would you introduce your character to us?
Yes, I am a Barathu. So I'm this big floating jellyfish man with 10 tendrils, each of them holding a gun. He's covered in armor that's with mesh so it can kind of maneuver as he kind of breathes in and out. Because he is a large creature made up of multiple Barathus that have all come together for the sole purpose of Carnage. And he goes by the name of Tenfold Carnage.
Wait, does he go by that name because there were 10 Barathu?
Yes. Now, hold and that's on. Why he has 10 arms.
Are there like 10 sentiences or are there one consciousness?
It's one pure consciousness of the desire to make beautiful carnage.
Okay, cool. I like it.
As you all are finishing your final preparations, there's an automatic door that hisses open at the other side of the room. And we have difficulty hearing this because it's so loud in the back of the ship. The door closes behind him and a short, stockily built Vesk walks into the room, taps the side of his helmet to indicate that he's going to be speaking over comms, and you just hear his voice crack the life inside your helmets. All right, we're approaching the drop point. Are you all ready?
I was born ready.
Ready!
I'm just tired of feeling cramped.
Just tell me when to kill.
We have a limited amount of time before we actually reach the drop point, but I'll go back over the briefing just in case. Your goal is to disable the cloaking transmitter. The enemy armada is using this device to hide some of their choice select ships from us. Once this is disabled, it'll allow our forces in space to finish the job up there. Now, there are near constant low-level electromagnetic storms over the surface of the planet, which will provide several complications for you. Firstly, if you're caught outside during one of these storms, any high technological devices will be rendered useless until repaired. Even lower level devices, such as a semi-automatic pistol, will become unusable for the duration of the storm. This will also make it very difficult for you to contact the control up in the space. There will be no air-to-ground communication except between yourselves and us here on the Valkyrie. So if you need anything to be sent off planet side, you'll have to send it through our relay system. Now, we are dropping in a lull between the storms. You will have several minutes before the next storm arrives. Vorp, you're raising your hand.
Oh, yeah, this is more of a question just for the GM. So as a mystic, I have this ability to add up to 10 creatures to my bond. And if I do that, I can telepathically communicate with them so long as we're on the same plane of existence. Could I have, or would I have done that to, with, like, somebody up in space? Or, you know, you said that communications would be difficult, but I can maybe bypass that.
Hmm. Is there anybody you would have liked to have established a telepathic bond
with? I would assume
beforehand?
That if I have, like, a commanding officer or something, I would have done, included them or, like, a relay person. But other than that, I don't have anything in particular aside from my party members.
Okay, so let's go ahead and say then you've got your party members and your commanding officer back on the capital ship.
Okay, and so long as we're on the same plane of existence, we all can telepathically communicate with one another.
You're a mystic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
So as he's talking about this limited communications, I imagine Vorp has just got a small smile.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's quietly smirking to himself, and he's sending a telepathic message to his party members going, "Don't listen to that, I got this."
Do not be alarmed. Even if our weapons are disabled, it only takes 9 seconds to choke out the average living human.
I don't think we'll be fighting many humans.
The respiratory system of most creatures tend to be very similar.
Glad you're on our side.
It is truly heartening to see you all ready for this mission. Bluebird and myself will be standing by in the Valkyrie. Now, we will have to make some evasive maneuvers to avoid the electromagnetic storms, but if you need anything, we will do our best to be in contact within 15 minutes. Any final questions? We are approaching LZ.
What level of destruction is allowed in this mission?
As long as it's confined to the former Vescarium holdings on this planet, you are without constraint, soldier.
Perfect.
As he then begins switching to grab his grenade launcher and his missile launcher.
How much cover will there be from support from other people?
There should be several forces that are taking on different vectors approaching the base. You are being dropped at the least defended place, according to our intel. The others are going to try to buy some time and draw attention away from the base. You will not get much assistance in the way of covering fire, but there should be a great deal of attention drawn away from your position.
Understood, sir.
Fortunately, our space team was able to disable not only the shields protecting the base, but their artillery and their radars. They won't know what hit them.
That should make life easy.
This is just a tiny point of order, Jordy, but this guy who's talking to me, is he a higher rank than me?
You definitely outrank him, okay. But... there's like side tracks. So like he's not a trooper. He doesn't go out with guns.
Sure.
He's a support technician.
I just wanted to know if I would call him sir or not, and I'm not going to.
No, he would not expect you to call him sir. Good. He's on the support crew. All right, looks like we're approaching. I'm heading back up to the cockpit. If you need anything, radio in. And with that, he turns and heads to the front as we see the back of the ship begin to open like a creature's jaw. And as the afternoon sunlight comes streaming in, and you see for the first time the surface of Vesk 6, which is now returned to its native name of Poulanis. You see out in the distance massive trees the size of mountains reaching up to the sky. Filtering through all of this is the distant orange light of the sun, which we are 6 planets out from the sun, so the light isn't as strong as you might be used to, but the planet itself captures a lot of that warmth, so it's a very warm and humid jungle atmosphere. As the ship is now hovering about 30 feet above the ground, with the ship doors open, the artificial gravity in the cargo bay has been removed, and you suddenly all feel much lighter, as the gravity on Vesk 6 is only 1/3 of that of standard gravity.
What an excellent turn of events.
As he moves to open his, basically his, like, traveling tanker, and he just starts pulling out extra weapons.
True to your support officer's word, there are very few foot soldiers on the ground in front of you. In fact, you only see 3 Vesk. I would like you all to roll for initiative.
Oh, already?
Oh, wow. Okay. Getting right into that.
All right. Vorp.
30.
Tenfold Carnage.
16.
Master Sergeant.
22.
And Schrodinger.
I don't want to say mine. Everyone else's is so good. I rolled a 10.
Oh, well, I was about to say, it's both good and bad until you tell us.
As you all can see from the map, you are being dropped on a sort of like sandy entry point at the back of the fort. There's a watchtower off to your left, but the main entrance is directly ahead of you across a courtyard. This yellow grating that you see on there, that's representing the back of the dropship. So once you leave that, you'll be dropping down to ground level, which is 30 feet below you, but due to the low gravity, you won't take any damage from the fall. Vorp, it is your turn.
Is it assumed we're already on the ground, or would we need to jump out first?
You would need to jump out.
Okay, I've got 30 feet of movement, so I will jump out first, lead from the front, and right as I'm getting ready to land, I know the gravity's low, but I have a jetpack, so it's going to kind of flare up as I land. Get me within 30 feet of one of those guys if you could. I don't care which one necessarily.
So you're looking at the 2 guards up to the left by the watchtower?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can make your way up to them with 2 actions. You'll be next to some cover from some large cargo crates that are out in the courtyard, but then you're also within 30 feet of both of them. Okay, so just 1 stride. You're a little bit more out in the open, but you only spent 1 action getting within range.
Then I'm going to use my other 2 actions to cast Eldritch Lance. Vorp kind of holds out one of his arms, and a mind-assaulting eldritch energy from the dark spaces between the stars coalesces in his hand, and he fires it at that target. And that makes a ranged spell attack.
That went from 0 to 100 real fast.
So that comes to 24.
That's a hit.
Cool. That was a total of 9.
And he goes, ah, my head.
Vorp goes, die, traitorous scum.
All right. And then it will be this guy on the complete opposite end of the map's turn. And he sees the ship landing, and he just puts one hand up to his head and just starts turning around and just books it into the facility. Master Sergeant, it's your turn.
He steps up to the edge next to Schrodinger and puts his hand on Schrodinger's shoulder. It was a great honor to be your people's enemy. Now, as allies, let's bring glory to us all. Let's get in there! As he activates, get in there.
Ooh.
You and all of your allies get a +5 status bonus to their movement speed. And then he's going to use a stride action to run down.
That's so cool.
I now have 40 feet of movement.
That's
so fast.
I'd like to... Can I move up? So next to where those two are, there's like the L.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get in the L, like there?
Yeah, so you've got like a 5 foot tall cargo crate to your left, and then like 3 foot tall cargo crates that you could easily duck behind in front of you.
Okay, so he's going to slide down a rope, land on the ground, run up against the cover. Because he has stepped or strided, I activate lead by example. Each of my allies can immediately step or stride up to half their movement speed rounded down as a reaction.
How I would many? Like to take that.
I would also like to take that.
Now, your speed is also increased by 5.
Yeah.
Okay. How many people?
Everyone.
Rounded down, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's resolve this in initiative order, just to keep it clean. Vorp, where would you like to move to?
I would like to move behind that cover.
All right.
Kind of on the south side of it, if possible.
So getting that large cargo crate between you and the enemies?
Yes, perfect.
All right, so you have total cover from that.
Great.
All right. Tenfold Carnage.
I am going to fly 10 feet north and upwards.
So you've left the ship, and you're just kind of circling around the side of the breach point and then moving further up above?
Yes, I'm trying to get a good vantage point on those two people.
Yeah, so you have no cover from any direction, but also you're high enough that nobody has any cover from you.
Yes, perfect. As it
should be. Currently, how far up did you want to go?
Well, I can only move 10 feet. No, move me 10 feet towards them.
Okay.
And just stay at 30 feet height.
Technically, fly is a different action, and you're not allowed to use a fly action. You can only stride or step. But in this case, I'm like, go ahead and fly. That's your normal movement.
Oh, okay.
Is that the same with climb?
Yes.
Good to know.
Okay, then I was about to ask, if it's a racial thing like the Barathu, I'll go ahead and let you do that as well.
Okay. I would like to take my 15-foot movement toward the box of boxes.
So you're able to leave the ship and drop down, but you can't really get too far out of the ship with just that 15 feet movement.
That's fine.
You had to stay behind the big Barathu.
Okay.
All right, so that resolves the lead from example movement. Sam, you still have 2 actions left, correct?
One action. Get in there allows everyone to get that. I still have to spend the action to move. Now that I'm in position, I'm going to get up and point at the wounded guy. The guy that Vorp just attacked. And I'll just look at the others and say, focus fire on that one. And I'll use get him. All of my allies, that enemy now has a -1 AC and a -1 to his reflex saves. And that will be the end of my turn.
You said -1 AC and -1 reflex, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tenfold Carnage, it is now your turn.
Question. So you said fly and stride are two different things.
Yes.
Shot on the run. It allows me to stride up to my speed and make an area fire or auto attack.
For the context of your character for this playtest, go ahead and just treat fly as an alternative stride.
Okay, cool. Because otherwise I'd also ask for permission to quickly switch that out.
Yeah, that kind of... Since a lot of the feats and stuff specifically say, like, with the stride, they should just make it the same.
So the thing is, they try to specify sometimes when they let that happen and sometimes when they don't. And I think they didn't include that for the edge cases in Starfinder when they're less edge casing. So, like, there are feats in Pathfinder 2nd Edition that are like, you may stride up to your speed and do this. If you have an alternative movement speed, you can do that instead. And I'm just saying, for Starfinder's sake, let's just say if you're getting it from your race, just add that onto anything.
Okay.
Because that's a normal movement speed for you.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. I'm going to do shot on the run, which is 2 actions. So I'm going to move another 10 feet towards them. And I'm going to utilize my machine gun to do an auto-fire attack on the two of them in a 40-foot cone. Because I am an action hero.
I was about to say, wait, isn't that a 20-foot cone?
No. No one can hide from me.
So you just drift out of the back of the ship, just flying overhead like a blimp of lead and hell, and you just unleash bullets on them.
Yeah, I just slowly maneuver my machine gun towards them, and then he just goes, "You're going to make a glorious bloodstain," and then opens fire.
All right, what is your DC?
Soldier DC, right?
Yes.
21.
All right. So they both saved. So regular success, they'll take half damage.
That is 10 points of damage.
So they each take 5 since they're taking half. Wait. Yes.
And then I'm going to do my primary target to make an attack roll against the one that was marked.
Yes, because he's the closest to you.
I love it.
Action hero can choose anyone in the cone. That's only a 15.
That is a fail. You do not hit.
Boo.
And then for my last action, I'm going to activate my force field generator.
All right, it is the marked Vesk's turn. He has just been shot at by a flying squid blimp, and he doesn't like that. So he's going to shoot back at you, Tenfold Carnage.
Might I ask why he doesn't like it?
So he has this interesting, like, preference of staying alive and being undamaged.
As a reaction. Tenfold, watch your left. He's opening fire. You get a +2 circumstance bonus against this attack.
All right, so he's got a 27.
Oh.
With the bonus, it's a 24 for AC.
Oh, so close.
It's only against the one attacked.
And he rolls 4 fire damage. He's shooting a laser rifle at you.
It does not pierce my shield.
And then he is going to move up close to the crates on the opposite side from the Master Sergeant. And with his last action, he's going to take cover. And then it's the other guy's turn. He's going to do something similar. He is also going to shoot at Tenfold Carnage. He does not hit. And then he also moves up and takes cover next to the boxes.
Question about this take cover situation.
Yes.
If we went around to the other side of them, is their cover gone?
Yes.
Okay.
So with the way it's working, this large blue crate, which the marked Vesk is standing next to, it gives him total cover as long as you're passing through that spot.
Okay.
And then the shorter crates next to it, if your line of sight passes through the shorter crates, he's getting standard cover. He gets lesser cover just for standing next to it and having that pass in between. But since he's hunkering down behind, he's getting standard cover.
Cool. Okay.
But yeah, if you maneuver around so that the cover that they're standing next to is no longer breaking that line of sight, they get no bonus. All right, Schrodinger.
Do I have enough movement to run and climb up on those boxes?
Yes. You could actually get to the far side of the boxes if you'd like.
Perfect. I would like to... If I'm in the middle of the boxes, would I still be able to see them? I see how the boxes are oriented. There is no middle for me to be on.
Yeah.
No, it's four-corner boxes.
Right there would be fine.
This is a world where you can't stand in the middle of them.
I like to! So after running over there and climbing up those boxes, I'm then going to open my a quantum field in between the two of them. And it's a 15-foot burst.
You want us not in it, or is we fine to be in it?
It's fine to be in it, because okay. I choose who's affected by my field.
He was trying to make it where we weren't in it.
Oh, sorry, I should have mentioned that.
I was trying not to hit you.
I want them as much in my field as possible.
Okay. Okay, so you've got that 15-foot burst centered on the middle of that cover, so they're, like, right in the middle of it.
And as long as they are in my field, if they do any action that requires the concentrate feat trait, they have to succeed a DC 5 flat check, as there are just, like, every noise is reverberating and echoing and bouncing around, and every movement is slightly delayed, and it kind of makes that, like, blur effect going on. And then... out of nowhere, they need to make a fortitude save.
This is time I want to ask you, what you want to explain what class you're playing?
Yeah, I'm a witch warper.
Ooh. What does that mean?
It means that I alter reality to just whatever through various means. Specifically, my class, my character, is an anomaly and should not exist.
So what anomalous, horrible thing is happening to my poor Vesk soldiers?
Well, tell me, did they beat a 21?
The marked Vesk did. But the other guy did not.
What's up with this marked Vesk? So, in just like an instant, the ground turns into what looks to be a star field, and a bright light flashes up from the bottom as it returns to normal. And the one who succeeded, let's see here, they are dazzled for one round. The failed one is blinded for one round and dazzled for 1 minute. The creature who failed can spend one interact action rubbing his eyes to get rid of the blinded condition. And that is my turn. Lid.
That was awesome.
All right, so that is the end of the first round. Vorp, it is your turn.
All righty. I would like to use my first action to get in where I can be within a line. I would like to make a line between myself and the two of them as my first action to get there. Then my second two actions, my remaining two actions, I should say, will be to use to cast Grim Tendrils. So Vorp holds out one of his arms and just these, like, inky black, shadowy, dark tendrils lash out in a 30-foot line, and they need to make fortitude saves.
Ooh, fortitude saves.
It's a classic Pathfinder spell.
And what is your DC?
21.
They both fail.
Great. Just regular fails, I'm assuming?
Regular fails.
Cool. Then they will take 2d4 void damage, as well as one persistent bleed damage. That's 8 void damage.
Oh, what?
Nice.
And one persistent bleed to each of them.
So you just lapped on the marked one. You just lapped past bloodied, and he is not looking good. All right. I've got their damage calculated, and I've got the bleed effect applied.
Excellent. That is my whole turn.
All right. From the facility doors, you just hear the sound of a large door open, and you see a roughly 12-foot tall, like, metallic mech suit that seems that it's been crafted out of just random junk and stuff that was found around the facility. And there's this Vesk wearing, like, overalls and a cap sitting in it, and he's just like, "There they are!" With his first action, he's going to pull a lever on either side of the mech suit, and these small spider-like drones are going to just, like, drop out of the sides and just start hovering in the air next to him. And then he's going to use his final action, moving. Yeah, he spends his last two actions just getting behind some small cover here. Now, he's large, so he's only getting lesser cover from these crates, even though they are stacked fairly high. He's got a couple drones that rolled high enough initiative, so they're also going to go. So one of them flies up just past the armored mech and is just barely in range for him to shoot at the Master Sergeant. And he gets a 23 to hit.
That hits.
Ooh, max damage. He gets a 9.
Okay, cool.
And that is the end of his turn. But then a second drone is going to fly up similarly and also attempt a shot. Well, no, actually, he gets a little bit closer, and he sees that cat standing very obviously and prominently up on a box, and he's going to shoot at him.
That's fine.
17?
No, shockingly. I'm kind of sad about that.
I didn't think so. All right, and now it is... Oh, it does another drone's turn, because this guy's not supposed to be here. Go away. So he can't quite get as close as the other two with his two actions flying over there, but he is going to try to take a shot in his second range increment.
Oh, okay.
Against who?
Against this Master Sergeant.
And for those unfamiliar, the range increment, once you fire out of your range, you take a -2 to try and shoot out that further distance.
With an 11.
That's a miss.
Surprise!
Your drones suck.
Master Sergeant, it is your turn.
So he gets shot. He looks back at them all coming. How are the two Vesk soldiers looking next to us?
The marked Vesk, who's standing next to the large crates right next to Schrodinger, is very injured. He's on his last legs. The other one is not quite bloodied, but he is also the one that is blinded.
Does blinding, do you take a reflex penalty?
He treats all normal terrain as difficult terrain. He cannot detect anything using vision. He automatically critically fails perception checks that require him to see. If vision is his only precise sense, then he'll take a -4 status penalty to perception checks. He's immune to visual effects. He is off guard to you, though, so his armor class is 2 lower.
It qualifies as a strike to shoot.
Yeah, so he would be
the
off
cone,
guard.
Right?
Oh, you're doing...
If I shoot a cone with my shotgun.
Are you using area fire?
It has the area cone trait, so I can't shoot without doing that.
Yeah, so it would be a 2 actions to use the area fire on it.
Oh, so I can't single action shoot that.
I don't believe so.
I did not know it was two actions to fire area.
Let me double
it
check.
It is two action. I do see that. I will not have that weapon out. I have... Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to step in between the two vests.
All right, so you're jumping over that crate right next to him.
So one of them is dazzled, one of them is blind.
Yes. The more injured one is dazzled. The one who's healthier is blind.
So the Master Sergeant, with a sword in one hand and a pistol in the other, gets shot, looks back, says, "I have better things to do today than die," and he leaps back over, and with his pistol, he reaches his arm over and shoots the wounded guy while jumping behind cover with a 23 to hit.
That's a hit.
And 5 points of damage.
And that finishes him off.
And then in his other hand, he has a sword and he swings at the blind man. And then his last action, he is going to prepare to aid.
Aha. All right, that brings us to tenfold carnage.
So there's just that one vest. How does he look?
He is not quite bloodied, but he's been beat up.
Okay. I don't think it's worth it. So I'm going to be floating 10 feet towards the mechandrones.
Just ominously hovering about 10 feet over Schrodinger's head. No, 20 feet, because you're 30 feet in the air.
So before I move, my first action, I'm going to switch to my grenade launcher. Then I'm going to use shot on the run to fly the 10 feet. And then I'm going to shoot a frag grenade. let me double check the range of it. I think it's 80 feet for the grenade launcher. Yeah, 80. No, sorry, 60 feet. No, that would work. Yeah, yeah. It looks like I can catch three of the drones and the mech with its cover.
Okay, so you've got that frag grenade hitting those three drones that have already moved up and fired. Looks like you're clipping the tank mech, and you're also landing it directly on those crates. So there's a potential of dealing damage to the crates he's hiding behind as well.
Okie doke, that's fine with me.
All right, so grenades. I've got a reflex save against you with that?
Yes, basic reflex save.
Okay.
Was that against your class DC or your grenade DCs? Do the grenades have their own DCs?
I do not see that grenades have their own DCs.
Oh, well, that's great.
So it's against my class DC, which I forgot about the original plus one because of tracking. So it's a 22 for the DC.
Gotcha.
That makes grenades a lot more useful.
So all three of the drones got a regular success.
Ew.
The tank got a critical fail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is 12 piercing damage plus 1d4 persistent bleed for the tank. I don't know if that applies or not, but...
Yeah, so I will say he can take the bleed because what you're really damaging is the pilot of the tank. You know, he gets bonuses and extra armor and stuff for being in the tank, but the health bar is really him. So the bleed will apply to him, but will not apply to the drones.
Well, the drone succeeded anyway.
Oh, okay, it's only on a fail. Gotcha.
So you won't be able to bleed them in the future.
Oh, the bleed is the crit specialization.
The grenade.
Oh, wait. Basic reflex save. So the mech would take double damage, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So that was 12 for the drones. So that's 24 for the mech.
Dang. Nice. Yep. Nice.
But the drones succeeded, so they only took six.
Yes. Oh yeah, they only take six. Yeah.
It doesn't appear that the crates took too much damage from the frags.
Oh, also the mech is suppressed.
Oh, heck yeah.
What's suppressed again?
He has a -1 penalty to attack rolls and a -10 speed, -10 to his speed.
Beautiful. So.
-10 on this super fast mech. Mm-hmm. I will note that he went into cover.
Okay. And so as I kind of... Yeah, I'm just gonna be destroyed. That's my turn.
Then it comes to the last drone's turn. He's going to fly into position, and the only person he can reach is Schrodinger, so he's gonna shoot at him.
Do it, coward.
He's now up in formation with the other drones. If he had just been a second faster, he would have been shot by that grenade.
No.
Natural 20.
Ooh, no.
This is gonna hurt.
Ha ha, you're going to die. You take 12 damage, already doubled.
I'm going to use my reaction.
Ooh.
To warp wounds. So is he just shooting? What's he shooting at?
He's got an integrated laser rifle.
All right, so what's going to happen is the quantum field is going to shift a little bit, and that soldier that we've been fighting in the field is like going to slightly phase into where I'm at and vice versa, and he's going to take 3 damage, and I get reduced 3 damage, so I take 9.
That is so cool.
Jack.
One detail I missed, because my shield wasn't destroyed, it regenerates 3 hit points.
All right, and now it is that Vesk's turn, the one who just phased in, took some of that laser, and he's phased back to his original position, just like, I can't see anything. This hurts. I don't know what's happening anymore.
Just surrender and I'll make sure you die beautifully.
He is going to take a step away, directly away from the Master Sergeant, which still leaves him within the aura that Schrodinger created. And then he's going to try to shoot at the Master Sergeant. So first I'm going to roll concealment.
He's just going to open fire at me.
He passes concealment.
Boo.
So now he's going to see if he hits you with a 24.
Doesn't he take penalties for shooting?
That's the concealment.
Oh, that's for being blind? See, you just have a 20% mischance on blind?
That's what I'm
saying.
That
doesn't seem like, right.
So
shooting requires perception.
But yeah, dazzled just gives the mischance. That's all it does.
Right, but blind gives the same mischance as dazzled.
Blind gives the same mischance, but it also makes normal terrain difficult terrain. You cannot detect anything with vision. You will critically fail perception checks that require you to be able to see. And if vision is your only precise sense, you take a -4 status penalty to perception checks.
I'm reading a Reddit post about the blinding condition, and it says that because of all those things that you said that it does, that everything is either hidden or undetected to you.
Yeah, this makes more sense what you're saying from that Reddit post. So I think that you guys are correct. We'd be treating it as the status, the condition of undetected.
Hidden.
Hidden specifies.
Yeah. So it's not undetected because he can hear.
So it is a DC 11. I don't remember what the original was when I rolled his flat check, so I'll just re-roll that.
It was 9.
Well, this time I rolled a 1 when I re-rolled it.
So. Oh, hey.
So he staggers back and shoots wildly and misses the Master Sergeant. And then he is going to attempt a second shot at a -5 penalty.
Okay.
So he's going to roll concealment, and you are hidden, so he's rolling against a DC 11. So I got a 19 on the concealment check.
Aww.
So now he'll make his attack roll with the -5. 23.
That hits me.
Don't worry, I got you. Just don't die.
7 fire damage.
Okay.
All right, and then he takes his 1 bleed at the end of his turn, and he is bloodied.
Yay!
Schrodinger, it's your turn.
You could delay till after the mech goes.
Okay, so I'm last, then it's Vorp. Yeah, okay, so I think I will delay until after the tank goes.
Okay. So then, with Schrodinger delaying, Vorp, it is your turn.
Great. Who's damaged, and by how much?
Oh, I am damaged.
Don't worry about metagaming. Because of our bond, I can analyze your...
I am 16 down.
16 down?
7.
7 down?
I'm fine.
Okay. Well then, that makes this easy. For my first action, I'm using transfer bond.
Cool.
Heal 16.
Oh, hey!
That is sick.
That's exactly what
I needed.
So what
is this?
So this is my mystic ability.
You're a mystic? Cool.
I'm a mystic. That means I pull from fundamental magical forces of the world. And since we're all bonded, like I mentioned earlier, we can telepathically communicate. But also, I can transfer my magic through our bond into you guys to heal you. It's one of the mystic's base abilities. All mystics can do this. I'm using one action to transfer vitality. What that means is in my bond, I have an amount of hit points. And for actions, I can transfer any amount of those hit points into somebody I'm bonded with.
I love
so
that.
Cool.
So for one action, because I can see the Master Sergeant, I'm going to transfer 16 of the hit points from my bond into him.
Ugh.
And there's something called a harmony, which I get to activate whenever I use the Transfer Vitality ability. You may make a Recall Knowledge check for free.
That's so cool.
I will Recall Knowledge on the mech, I suppose.
I could do Society, Crafting, Warfare Lore. Oh, before you commit,
okay.
What I will tell you is dependent on what you roll.
Oh, okay. I'll use War.
Okay.
21.
That's a success.
Hey!
So, sizing this up, you get a sense that on a scale of 1 to 20, this tank represents a threat level of 4.
Oh, okay.
With your warfare lore, you recognize that this is not any, like, regularly outfitted tank. This is something clearly just scrapped together and cobbled together through parts. But you do recognize that the right arm of the tank is made up out of a Gatling gun, and the left arm seems to have some sort of explosive ordnance installed.
Okay. What traits does it have?
It does have the tech trait.
Hey! I like that.
Same.
Does it have any resistances?
No resistances.
Okay. I guess that was my question. That's good to know because it was a tank. It's hard to know. All right. That's my recall knowledge.
Great. Just for flavor purposes, whenever Vorp is doing this, his eyes kind of roll back into the back of his head, and like these shadowy like runes and sigils kind of float around his head and around the head of whoever he's doing this to. So Master Sergeant has these runes kind of just swirling around his head as he's healed through some perhaps dark magical energy. Let's see. Do you want to be healed?
I mean, if you're offering...
I have 10 hit points left in my pool. I get 4 back at the start of each of my turns, and I can refocus to regain a bunch more.
I would recommend if you could try and kill off this vest.
Okay. Would he, if I shot a ranged attack at him, would he have some cover because the Master Sergeant is there?
It should just be a +1 to his AC.
However, he is off guard because he's still dazzled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Cool.
Thank you, Commodore.
You're welcome, Master Sergeant. Now you, traitor, die! And I will cast my Eldritch Bolt or whatever that was.
or whatever.
Eldritch Lance.
Eldritch Lance, that's what it's called. Thank you.
What's
your one? That's a 27.
That's a critical hit.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's
I think he's
nice.
Dead.
It's going to hurt. So let's see. Yeah, we got 3d6. So. 30.
So he just finishes like clearing the dazzledness blind out of his eyes. He's like, I can kind of start seeing shapes again. And he just hears, die, traitor, and just with a blast that would have killed him from full health.
Yeah, I figured as much. That is my turn.
All right, man, it's just the mech left. Let's take focus fire.
All right, Schrodinger, would you like to jump in or are you still holding?
I'm gonna still hold and see what this tank do.
Okay. He's gonna sit behind those crates.
He's not gonna move.
And he is gonna lay a barrel across the top of the crates, pointing directly at Tenfold Carnage.
Oh, a gun barrel.
No, like a large, like, you know, like large.
Like an anti-tank gun.
Yeah, like an anti-tank size of a gun. And you just hear as a missile comes out of the barrel directly towards Tenfold Carnage. So go ahead and make a reflex save.
26.
Okay, so that's a regular success. So you will take half damage. I rolled 7 bludgeoning damage as the missile itself hits you.
7 halved?
No, that's 7 total. Okay. So you'll take 3 bludgeoning damage. And then there's 3 fire splash damage as it explodes. And that 3 fire splash damage will also hit Schrodinger, who's standing. No, you're not adjacent to him. He's in the air.
I'm 30 feet up.
Yeah. So it just hits you.
Look out, the fire's falling.
Ow, hot.
You take 3 bludgeoning and then 3 fire as it explodes.
Okay. And as it explodes, there's just this cloud of smoke, and I just float out of the smoke, seemingly unharmed.
And then the tank is going to just like lower down behind the crates to take cover. So now he has standard cover.
Schrodinger,
would you like to jump in?
I would love to. Thank you for asking. Now, I thought about this a lot. And since the tank didn't do what I wanted it to do, I'm going to analyze the target, and I'm going to reflavor it a bit. So Schrodinger's going to look at it and be like, in another world, I am you. And then he's going to become inside the tank. And what this does is I gain their biometric information about the target, including its fingerprints, medical conditions, and other basic physiological information. Anyone who, myself included, and anyone who I ascribe this information to gets a +2 circumstance bonus to impersonate the creature, medicine checks on the creature, or treat runes to the creature, as well as recalling knowledge on the creature for 1 hour. If the creature is illusory or under the effects of illusory magic, I detect this only if the effects rank is lower than the spell rank of the analyzed target spell, which is at 3rd level.
One of the things that I did not prepare for this guy was his fingerprints, so I do apologize.
I need to know, Joey.
But I can tell you that you do not detect him being under the effects of an illusion.
No, I really just wanted the +2 to act like I'm this guy. I don't know. That seems fun. And then I'm going to use my 30 feet of movement. How far will 60 feet get me? Will 60 feet get me behind that blue thing down to the southeast?
So you could actually get all the way to the other side of that blue if you wanted to get total cover from the drones.
How much movement would 30 feet get me?
Just 30?
I'm
sorry. I thought you said 60.
I wanted to fiddle around, but I don't have the fiddling things. Okay, so I do need all of my movement to get over there. Yeah, then I'll go for full cover from the drones. Oh, and my aura, since I didn't sustain it, goes away.
Okay. All right. And now it is 3 of the drones that go back to back with each other. So one drone is going to move around to the side of the crates. So he's got his back to the rest of the team, but he's gotten around the side so he can see Schrodinger, and he's going to shoot at him. With a 14.
No.
He'll try again. With a natural 1. Unfortunately, we don't have any crit fumble or crit hit cards since this is only in playtest. So he will just shoot and look very sad at his gun. And that is the end of his turn. It is now the second drone of that set's turn, and it's going to spend 1 action flying up a little bit closer to where it's got a good shot at tenfold carnage, and it's going to try shooting at him. Ooh, 29.
That is a hit.
For 7 damage.
And my shield breaks.
Emboldened by the success, it takes 1 final shot. 7.
To hit?
To hit.
I'm dead.
Oh, no.
What?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
And that's the end of his turn. This second drone, or I guess the third drone of the set, flies around the other side of the crate to get a flanking position on Schrodinger. Since they are using ranged attacks, he's not off guard, but they do have him surrounded.
They don't even know if I'm really here. How are they attacking me, Jordy?
They're going to find out. They're going to shoot what looks to be a Catman. With a 20 to hit?
No.
And a second attempt. At a 19. No. Surely that gets through. All right, and that's the 3 drones who go back to back. It is the Master Sergeant's turn.
He's feeling reinvigorated, thanks to Thorpe. And he swaps out his sword and pistol for a seeker rifle. And he kind of comes up over the barrels he's at that front first drone right up in front of him. And he's going to use get him to take a shot.
Get him!
Get him! 27.
Ooh. That's a critical hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's a get him, so I get the crit specialization.
Nice.
What is a sniper rifle's crit specialization?
Was it +1 or +2 per weapon die?
2. So it's 4 extra damage. 26 points of damage.
And that just blasts that first drone out of the sky. It just shreds through. And you get the sense that that shot would have taken it down even if it weren't damaged.
For the glory of the Vascarium. And that is his 3 actions.
All right, tenfold carnage. Just a quick overview of the battlefield. Both of the two Vesk soldiers that we were fighting at the beginning are both dead. The drones, they've got three up. Two of them have been injured by your grenade blast. One of them has not been injured at all. The fourth drone was just downed by this Master Sergeant. The tank is not in good shape, but he has hunkered down behind cover on the far side of the battlefield.
Carnage, if you could, start focusing fire on the tank.
Gladly.
Okay, so I'm just going to run and gun. So I'm going to move 10 feet towards them, and then I'm going to launch another frag grenade right basically at the same place that I did last time, so right on that cover so I can get that drone on the left that hasn't been hit and the mech again.
Fair enough. You said DC 22?
22.
Since you get that tracking bonus from your grenade launcher.
Mm-hmm.
So the drone gets a regular failure. The tank rolls a nat 1.
Aha, yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's a failure, I think.
It's a crit fail.
All right, so that is 2d8. So 9 points regular, doubled to 18 for the crit. And then for my last action, I'm going to switch back to my machine gun. And so basically how he's switching his weapons, because he's holding 5 weapons right now, he just rotates.
So instead of switch or swap action, you're actually just taking the switch hands action?
Yes, okay. Which is one action. And so, yeah, he just rotates until he's aligned with the weapon that he wants.
Yeah, which I don't think we explained in the last group. So if you have multiple limbs, you have different pairs of arms, and you can spend one action to switch which is your active pair of arms.
And as a Barathu, they have an ancestry feat where they can get an extra 2 arms, and you can keep taking it. And so I just kept taking it. That's the only ancestry feat I've been taking. And that's my turn.
All right, well, the last drone, the one that just got hit by that grenade explosion, it's going to go next.
How does the cover look? Because it's been blasted twice.
So it is getting pockmarked, and, I mean, it's taking damage, but not appreciably to the point where it's really going to make a difference at this stage. All right, it is that other drone's turn. It's in range, right? No, it's not quite in range, because tenfold carnage is in the air. Curse this two-dimensionality.
I'm just a floating, like, sentry turret.
It's going to move 10 feet across the map and 10 feet up towards Tenfold Carnage. And it's going to take a shot. The 23.
Meets it, beats it.
All right. With 6 fire damage. And then he'll take a second shot. Yeah, that's a miss. 13.
Quick point of order.
Yes.
That drone did fail to save, correct?
Oh, it did.
He was suppressed, which is a -1 to his attack roll.
So he misses.
He misses.
And he also is slowed down, so he's not quite that close.
So the second attack roll?
The second attack roll then is a total of a 12.
That is a miss.
A critical fail. All right. Vorp, the beginning of round 3, it is your turn.
Excellent. Okay. At the beginning of my turn, I regain 4 hit points to my vitality network. My first action, I'm going to use Force Connection, which, among other things, can either select one of my bonded targets to either make them the only target of an area of effect spell or ignore being targeted by said area of effect spell, or if the next action that I use has the transfer trait, which I'm about to do on you to heal you, my vitality network automatically regains 4 of the lost hit points that I'm use.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I'm going to heal you for 7.
And this is Schrodinger healing?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm pointing at him, but I should probably say I am healing Schrodinger because he's damaged. What I think.
What's the range on those ability?
60 feet. Oh, I need to get closer to him.
Yeah.
I misspoke. It's 8.
8? Okay. Can I get within 60 feet of him?
Yeah,
you definitely can. With 1 stride.
I think
what's your speed?
30.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. That will be my first action. Second action is Force Connection, which will let me heal you for 8, but I only spend 4 of my Vitality Network hit points to do it.
So you skirt around the western side of this battlefield, just like near the landing bay in the middle of it, and you're able to just get close enough to Schrodinger. You can see him on the other side of the battlefield, and you make your connection go.
Focus it in, you feel Vorp's presence in your mind, and as your wounds start to mystically heal.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I like it.
Also, as a question,
yes.
Since I'm constantly shifting realities, how do you feel about this?
Can you serve the Vescarium?
I meant with your abilities.
Oh. My connection is to the, what's it called? The Akashic Record.
Mm.
So I'm connected to a library that has all knowledge. So it's not that weird.
Also, as a quick question, do I get a recall knowledge?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay, cool.
You get the harmony effect, so you get a free recall knowledge.
Do we want to do the drones, or do we want to do the tank man?
The drones die super easy.
Yeah, I'm going to do the tank man again. Plus, I get a +2 circumstance bonus to recalling knowledge. I think I'm going to Warfare lore, because it's +11.
Okay.
And I'm making this?
You caught me.
I mean, Sam made his.
Yeah. All right, you said +11?
Yeah.
Is that counting your circumstance bonus?
No.
So +13 with that circumstance bonus. Gotcha. Success. So I've already identified him as a level 4 creature. What else would you like to know?
Special ability that we haven't yet seen?
Nothing applicable.
All right, let me ask this then.
Yes.
Does he have melee attacks?
Yes.
Sad.
What, did you think he wasn't going to have melee attacks?
He's all guns.
So if you've played Helldivers 2, he will try to step on you.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was my turn still. Yeah, but it's actually over because that was my last action.
Oh, okay.
All right. So now it is the tank's turn. He is suppressed. So instead of voot, voot, we're going to get voot, voot.
Oh, wow.
As he moves 10 feet and just steps out from behind cover where he's got a clear line of fire to Vorp.
Oh, no.
And another missile just...
I can't help with missiles.
Vorp, I'm going to need a reflex save.
Reflex save?
If you were next to me, I could help. But you're not.
I'm okay at reflex saves. Let's go. That's not bad. 30.
So the tank... out of cover, a missile comes launching at Vorp, who matrix dodges underneath it. It just blasts on a cliff face behind him.
Nice.
As you critically succeed.
Awesome.
And that's the end of the tank's turn.
Nice.
He feels so suppressed. Schrodinger.
Going over the boxes, how much movement does it take for me to get to him?
It'll take one space to get up on top of the big box, because you got to go 5 feet up.
Right, but how much to get to him?
Oh, to get to him?
Yeah.
It'd be 1, 2, 3 spaces, and you'd be adjacent to him.
Okay. I would like to use my movement to get there. And then, because he has the tech trait, you can't tell me no, Jordy.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I'm going to combat hack him.
That's valid.
Yeah. And I have a prosthetic in my arm that gives me a +1. And I don't know the DC because it's set by you. Oh, that's good.
I am now very scared of what combat hack does.
32.
Jenkins, could you tell me what combat hack does on a critical success?
Yes, I can.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So he becomes glitching 2 for 1 round. Now, what glitching does, it makes to where anything he would try to do with the mech, with the thing that is technical, he has to beat a DC of 10 +2 flat check. And if he doesn't, if it's a failure, he takes an item penalty bonus to all of the checks and DCs equal to the glitching value or the glitching value of the items you're attempting to use. If it's a critical failure, he counts as stunned 1 for the round, or alternatively, since he's not tech, he's using tech, the glitching object that he tried to use does not function, and you lose that action you took attempting to use it. Now, if he succeeds, he uses it as normal, and if he critically succeeds, the glitching value goes down by 1. But he's glitching 2 for 1 round.
That's a lot.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah. And then I'm going to use my last action. Can I get behind the boxes that are... Carnage Man has been trying to blow up?
That was more of a secondary goal.
What's your speed again?
30.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you can slip back into the cover that the tank was using earlier.
Yeah, then I will do that.
All right, so you swing over that box, quickly combat hack him, just sparks all over his suit, and then you just book it back where he came from, right behind him, and he's just trying to, like, figure out where you went.
Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
It's now the first of the drones that had been harrying Schrodinger. It's his turn. Schrodinger is gone. He booked it out of there. So this drone's going to move for Vorp now.
I was never there.
Bring it on, you technical terror.
Flies up and fires with a 21 to hit.
That misses.
And a second shot with a 20 to hit.
That misses as well.
Well, that second one was a surprise. I really thought if a 21 missed that a 20 would hit.
You know, you'd think that.
Sometimes it happens.
My armor class is 22, so he almost hit me.
The second drone that had been harrying Schrodinger is also going to fly up next to his companion, and with his last action, because it took him two actions to get in range,
watch
he's
going
to try and...
Commodore, watch out! I'll give you a plus two AC bonus.
Oh,
my
nice.
AC is 24 then.
Oh, boy. Yep, 22 to hit.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Teamwork, Master Sergeant. Teamwork.
I did my best. That's really debating. Fun. I'm like, do I use my reaction?
Yeah, you do.
There it is.
And speaking of the Master Sergeant, it is your turn.
We're almost to the base. And then he's going to say, we have to take out the tank now. And he's going to just get him on the tank.
Yeah.
He's going to take a shot at that drone in the middle. With a 21.
Ooh,
that's a regular hit.
3 damage.
And you sever a cable on one of its little legs.
And then I'm going to take a shot at the mech. Which means I get a plus 4 bonus to damage now because of lead from the front. Since I used get him and I'm making attack. And all my allies get a plus 2 damage bonus against it.
Ooh. Nice.
And that, my friends, is a 23.
That's a hit.
All right. I only rolled one die of damage against the drone. Add an extra 7 damage to the drone.
That's better.
I forgot. I'm supposed to be rolling 2 dice. And 14 damage to the mech.
Master Sergeant, will you narrate how you take out the pilot of this mech?
Oh, he's looking. He sees, like, the base is still going. All the carnage around him. He's looking down at his dead brothers at his feet. He might have trained these soldiers that we're now killing. He might have spent a lot of time with them in battles and wars. He feels that heavy on his heart, but he knows he has to. He follows through with the loyalty and the focus, the desires for the glory of the Vescarium and the loyalty that he tried to instill in every soldier. But these people clearly didn't grasp it enough, but he holds on to it. So he puts that over his feelings of killing his brothers, and he pulls up. He shoots at the drone. The bullet cuts the parts of the drone and bounces off and is floating in midair. And he takes a shot, hits his bullet, and that bullet flies into the Vesk pilot's head. It's that moment of just like everything's loud and silence as there's just a hole in the middle of his head. And then he just slumps and falls off the mech. And
amazing.
And as he falls out of the frame, we cut to like a long angle. And he's just like in the distance. So he just thumped to the ground. And then we just see pew, 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 as the remaining 3 drones drop to the dirt. And we will end the encounter.
Heck yes.
All right, let's not waste the opportunity we've been given by our friends. We need to get moving. Who can take out a door? Wait. Before I say that, is the door like that they entered into the base closed?
Yes.
Okay. He's gonna pull out. He looks over. He's ready to make everyone move. He pulls out his reaction breaker, which is a shotgun designed for destroying doors and walls and such. And he's like, let's not waste this opportunity we've been given. We have to keep moving. And he's gonna run up. Someone help me secure this door.
I'll go up with you. I'm going to pull out my little cord and I'm going to try to hack the door.
As I'm floating forward, I'm reloading my weapons and pulling out my missile launcher just in case.
Schrodinger, I hand you my rifle I've been using and I'm like making sure my breaker's all set. And then I'm kind of like, you might want to step back. And then I just fire right at the door.
So as the blast hits the door, the outer layer is just shredded. And you hear this. And you see through that outer layer, like an inner layer slides through. I would like anyone who would like to make a crafting check.
25.
Okay, so Master Sergeant, you recognize the second layer of doors as being like a backup security as electromagnetic shielding.
Ah.
You know that if you were to break through this door, you do risk compromising the magnetic shielding in the interior.
Can I just hack the door? I just look at you. Can I do my job?
I put the breaker on my back, and I healed my hand out for my gun, and I put my hand on your shoulder. Carnage, make a hole.
No, we need this. I'm going to... Carnage, don't do this.
And I start walking off.
I hate my job.
Commodore, Fordinger, you might want to take a step back.
Are you disobeying your superior officer?
I think maybe a more delicate approach would be warranted here.
Treason is punishable by death.
Hey,
If we put a hole in this wall, the whole base will be compromised. That means whatever they're planning, whatever defenses they have set up, will be eliminated before we even run across them.
I have tech in me.
You'll be fine. I trust you.
If you trust him, then you should listen to him, Master Sergeant.
I've been doing this a long time. I've been stationed in several of these bases. I know how crippling it will be if we eliminate this.
My gun won't work.
We have analog weapons. You have your magic.
I would like to interject some information from the Game Master perspective. Sam is correct. If you blast a hole through this wall, it will cripple any technology that is stored inside. Anything that they were planning to use will be likely compromised. However, anything that you have that has the tech trait risks being destroyed if you're caught outside an electromagnetic storm. And anything that has the analog trait, it becomes non-functioning during the storm. It will restore to functionality after the storm is concluded, though.
So no guns will work.
So right. I have tech augments in me that allow me to move faster.
Yes, those would be destroyed.
So my legs would be destroyed.
This is the information that I wanted to provide from the Game Master.
So your legs would just be destroyed completely?
The joints
forever?
In my leg will be destroyed.
They would get the broken condition and would need repaired.
Master Sergeant, if I can speak. I only carry one device that would work after a storm.
You're right. That's fair.
I like my legs. I am in favor of Schrodinger keeping his legs.
While I would love to destroy the door and love to destroy his legs, I think we should probably try and hack it instead.
Schrodinger, door.
Thank you, sir.
I am a guns blazing envoy. I never said what I was. I'm an envoy.
Oh, the late reveal. I love it.
30.
Oh, yeah. So, Schrodinger, you just walk up to the door, and the others barely even notice that you've plugged in before the door starts sliding open. The alarm is still going because it's an alarm warning that the door has been damaged, but you have complete control over this door.
Now, once we're inside, you can destroy whatever you want.
That's fair.
Such as the door?
No, except for the door.
All right, the cloaking generator. Let's head up.
So you make your way into the facility. As Sam had mentioned, several of you have served in Viscarium military before, so it's
correct.
Trivial for you to navigate a Viscarium military installment. After a quick few turns and dispatching one or two guards that were unfortunate enough to come across your path, you find your way to the command center, where you know the computer that could shut down the cloaking device would be housed.
All right. Schrodinger, shut down the cloaking device. We'll give you cover.
Okay.
Schrodinger, as you enter the command room, a shot goes off and a laser blast goes right by your head and just, like, singes the wall behind you.
My commanding officer told me to do a thing, and I'm just going to, like...
And you see, standing across the room from you, is a very shocked-looking Patra that you recognize as being a member of the Freedom Fighters.
I point to him, point to, like, something on my shoulder.
And he Spider-Man points back.
I rotate to my pain glaive and turn it on, and he just hears the buzzing saw as I just slowly inch towards him.
No.
And he's like, wait.
In the name of the Vescarium, stand down.
Holsters his gun, and he's like, which Vescarium are you with?
He's, and I point to like a patch that says Freedom Fighters on my shoulder. He's with me.
I wasn't given orders to allow survivors.
You weren't given orders to kill on sight either.
What a lovely technicality.
Carnage. Maybe
he's an ally, Carnage. Stand down.
Who truly is an ally who's not a part of the team?
He could be my third cousin.
What's the point of a third cousin when you already have two?
It's hard to argue with that. But still, hold your fire.
I will allow it if he surrenders.
His hands are up. I think that means he surrenders.
But he could still use them.
We can't deal with this right now. Schrodinger, take out the cloaking generator. Those people are waiting on us.
I'm going to point to him. You, help my friends.
Of course. What do you need? My name's Finn. What do you need?
A vest comes in the door and I turn and shoot him in the head. More of that.
Right. And he unholsters his pistol and then goes and stands by the door keeping watch.
Just as a small reminder, Patra, failure is resulting in death.
I understand that.
Tinfoil, get ready to blow up the machine if I can't break it.
Missile launcher ready.
Tinfoil, I love that.
So what are you going to be using to try and break this thing?
I'm hacking it.
You're hacking it. What's your skill level in that?
14.
Okay.
It's technically 13, but I have a thing that gives me a +1.
The only reason I was asking is I have a thing that for a focus point in two actions, I can give somebody any lore skill for a minute. It lets them be trained in said lore skill to whatever level my occultism is.
That's really useful.
Yeah.
I would argue you are aiding me by keeping me not shot at.
I could use the aid skill.
I know, but I'm saying I feel like that's a good reason too.
Sam, unless you have a special thing to aid, I would like you to roll an attack roll to aid.
Okay.
Because I literally had written for this scene
29.
That there was going to be these like vest guards who would come around the corner and be like, they're trying to shoot at him while he's hacking, but people can aid with their strike check, and you've already set that up.
Yep, 29.
Okay, so that's a critical success on the aid.
I would like to guard the door with my pain glaive and just buzzsaw.
A +2 circumstance bonus. All right, Schrodinger, give us that hacking check.
41.
Yeah!
If I did my math right.
Okay, what is your regular computer's bonus?
14.
So 15 plus 14 is 29.
Did I... 31. I over-carried the 1.
Okay.
I was going to say, I'm like, oh.
Boy. I figured.
Yeah. That's still really good.
Must be that number.
It's still really good.
Yeah.
Okay. I have picked my jaw back up off the floor, and I am no longer going to ask you how you rolled a 40 at level 5.
Oh, also, it doesn't matter, but I do have assurance for this skill.
Ah.
I'm not taking that. I'm taking my 31.
Before we resolve the results of this, while Schrodinger is still leaned over the computer hacking, Vorp.
Yes.
You hear a voice in your mind.
Yes, sir.
You hear the voice of Tesseric Falder, your commanding officer, in your mind. Vorp, do you read me?
Ah, yes, sir. Commodore Vorp, reporting for duty. We've breached the compound, and we are in the process of disabling the cloaking device.
Most excellent. We have received some concerning news. It appears that your work will not be concluded with the dismantling of the cloaking device. While that is still your top priority, as soon as that is complete, we have heard word that the General has been experimenting on Swarm. Sam, why don't you give us a lore drop?
The Swarm are a kind of an insectile. It's not like a single race, but it's like a whole society that came from the vast outside of the solar system. The Sheeran are actually from them. Like me, they broke off from this hive mind of the Swarm to become more of a individualism. But they were just a swarm of things that came ravaging everything, and it was actually the first instance the Vescarium and the Pact Worlds teamed up and formed an alliance, because neither of them could on their own push back the Swarm. Since then, they have been pushed back, but they still are a constant problem, meaning that the Vescarium and the Pact Worlds cannot break their alliance, and has caused a lot of tension in that area, as they're kind of forced to stay allies because the Swarm can reappear at any point. Any Vesk doing any sort of experiments on them would be not great.
That is most concerning, sir.
what needs to be done.
We don't know where the facility is, but we need you to locate it and shut it down. Destroy any trace of these loathsome creatures. We cannot let them invade our home system.
Affirmative, sir. We will take care of it.
And as soon as you get the conclusion of that message, Schrodinger, you're in.
What information can I steal, if anything? Is it that kind of thing? Like, is it like I can get in and connect to everything, or is it just this thing?
You now know how to bring pears back.
Oh my goodness, I would love a pear.
And you find a wonderful souffle recipe.
It's a Skittermander souffle.
Well, we do have a Skittermander.
Doesn't make me hungry.
You are able to bring down the cloaking device generator, but you also, in addition to that, you gain the forecast for the electrical storms, where they're anticipated to go and when they're anticipated to arrive. Ooh. So if you needed to go outside or to get somewhere else, Schrodinger, you would be able to chart courses to most neatly avoid the storms.
So it's now been shut off and we have our information. As we're starting to pack up to head back the way we came, the Master Sergeant kind of spins his hand to have like everyone come huddle up. All right, gentlemen, this mission is now classified. Moving forward, this will all be off the record.
Oh, we should probably kick him out.
With pleasure.
No, don't kill him!
I shoot him.
He could have been my brother in another world.
All right, you head on back. Yeah, I give him like coordinates. And I say, so, this is an LZ.
Carnage Finn just with this laser blast in his shoulder. Just shoot
him? He said he shot him.
I did not say I killed him, but
what,
I did shoot
what
him.
What weapon did you shoot him with?
Not with a missile launcher.
Boom. He just explodes.
He probably would have switched. He roto laser.
Okay, so he's just got like a singed laser shot in his shoulder, and he's just like, Master Sergeant.
I turn to the others, I say, I put my finger up, 1 second, and I put my arm around this Pacha, and I start walking with him, and I quickly use battle medicine to patch up his arm. And I was like, here, I hand him like a USB stick. These are the coordinates, you'll get picked up there. Head on out, and we'll see you later, I guess.
Right, I'm still hearing a lot of fighting on the north side of the fort. Do you want me to help them clear things out?
Go for it.
Right. And he gives you a sloppy salute and makes his way down the hall.
what a bro.
A brave soldier. I'll enjoy his funeral.
Ooh.
Master Sergeant, if the mission's classified, hasn't he already heard too much?
Who?
The Freedom Fighter.
No, he's fine. He's fine. He'll be fine. Don't worry about him. We have other things we need to do.
Correct. I have just received a message from the Admiral. Our mission is not yet concluded.
The Commodore is correct. And I pull out a little hologram thing and I put it down. And it pulls up a whole, like, 3D image of a research station. About 5 clicks northeast of here, there's a Vescarium research station. It was used during the war to experiment with possibly weaponizing the swarm. It's our objective here, now that peace has been made with those of Polanus, to eliminate and destroy any traces of the swarm and this research station. We take that out, and the Vesk have nothing of value here on this planet to hold.
Does the leadership not require the data for the swarm?
What?
The experimentation upon the swarm. Does the leadership not want as much data on it as we can acquire?
That's not a priority.
My orders were to terminate.
It's such a precious weapon to terminate, but I'll follow orders.
If there are any members of the Vescarium, they are not likely to be part of this rogue group, but information is to be contained.
In light of present or past complications, do I have permission to shoot on sight?
For the glory of the Vescarium.
For the glory of the Vescarium.
For the glory of the glorious, murderous Vescarium.
Are you enlisted? Because we should have a conversation. You'd do very well.
My enlisting is only to glory and beauty.
Yes.
I just want my planet back.
You may have it.
Only if you're strong enough.
We're just clearing the way for you. Saddle up. Let's head out. See if there's any vehicles here, perhaps.
Can I ride him? And I point to Tinfoil.
Only if you're able to defend yourself. I will not defend you if you get caught in the stray of my bullets. But then again, you should hop on.
And that's where we'll end this episode.
This has been an Atomic Broadcasting production. Starfinder, The Pact Worlds, and The World Setting are all copyright of Paizo. For more information, visit paizo.com. While you're there, check out the Starfinder playtest. The PDF is free, and there's a survey to give you feedback. The music used is from Monument Studios Collection, as well as other assorted artists. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to check out our other productions on the Variety Hour feed, or our main show, The Written and the Lost, a weekly Pathfinder 2nd Edition show. All this and more can be found in the episode description. Don't forget to like, comment, and share with a friend. And most importantly, have an atomic time.
You see for the first time the surface of Vesk 6, which is now Polaris. Polaris?
Polunis.
Polunis. Which is now Polunis.
Wasn't it Polarmus?
Polanus. It's P-U-L-O-N-I-S. Polanus, I think.
How about we just go with Pluto?
Polanus. I think it's Polanus.
How about Vesk 6? We remember that.
Polanus. Okay, Polanus. I can say Vesk that. 6.